stand on your square. We on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo, peace family. This is Brother Kev, aka Cosmic Kev.
This is your girl, Rigel.
Hotep, assalamu alaikum, Kabari Ghani. This is Brother Montoya, aka Mufasa Rock.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We here, we back. This is Collective Minds, where we say we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think, right? So we all about the collective. Y'all know how we do. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We got a fun show lined up today or tonight. So, you know, give us a call and share your thoughts with us as always. But before we get started, like we always do, do y'all have any announcements, and how was y'all week? Queen Rigel.
My week was great. My week was great. Another great week. I want to give a special shout out to my last and final princess, who just turned 14 today, Abigail, my author baby.
That's right. That's right.
We celebrated her birthday today.
That's right.
So I'm pushing them on out the next float. Bye-bye, little birdie. Fly, fly.
Yes. Almost trying to fly.
Almost trying to fly, fly, little birdie.
Yes,
well, no, that's it. I had a great week.
All
right.
Get them all out the way for the next one.
Oh. Huh? Uh-huh. Fly, fly, little birdie.
All right, my brother Mufasa, how was your week, man? And you got any announcements for the family?
Yeah, it's been an up and down week for me, y'all. You know, first off, I wanted to give a shout out as well to the Nation of Islam at March 28. My Minister Donald had a fantastic lecture this morning. So I always enjoy being around the brother and sisterhood, the family. Shout out to Roger's daughter, happy birthday. And I wanted to let y'all know that I was I had to see protesters involved in the melee yesterday down, you know, here in the St. Louis area, over a young man who was killed at one of our malls here by the police. You know, the young man's name is Terry Tillman. So for people out there who are interested in that case, all you got to do is Google that up. Terry Tillman, murdered at the Galleria by the police. Protesters here want answers. The family want answers. The young man was leaving the scene. He was asked to leave from the Galleria. He had a gun on him. He was asked to leave. In the midst of him leaving, he fled from the police and end up getting shot and killed. So yesterday, protesters took to the scene of where he was murdered at, to the mall where it started. And, you know, it just bothers me to see how people can hear other people and know people are going through problems. And, you know, they call themselves humans or should be loving and concerned about other humans. For these people, these protesters to be crying out in pain to let them know that something's bothering them and something wrong, and people to just go on with their lives, you know, and don't want to be involved or don't even want to take the time to say, well, let me hear what you're talking about. Let me try to talk to you as a human and find out what's going on. Oh, wow, I wasn't aware of that, but to just keep walking by and act like all those people are crazy. you know, it bothers me. It really does. I may not agree with protesting, but I will always believe in the person's right for their freedom of speech. And if you feel like something's bothering you and you want to get it out, I'm going to always uphold it. So for my people who do protest, even if I'm not there on the front line protesting with you, but know that I am around, and if something go down, don't be concerned about your brother Mufasa not getting involved, because I have no problems helping to defend your right to protest, and I want to let my protest family know that. So outside of that, you know, look that case up, family out there, Terry Tillman, and you know, maybe you can send some love out to his family and get involved with what we got going on here. Well, one of the many cases we have going on here of people being murdered by police. So I just wanted to put that out there.
All right. Yes, indeed.
Let me ask you one quick question. Whatever happened with the other case of the young man who they said, I think they were saying that he had hung himself, but his family was suspicious of that in the I guess, with the police officer and stuff. Any new development on that case?
Nope, same situation. The family still wants answers. They're still trying to, you know, to raise funds. They have a GoFundMe that's been running since it happened, which that was in October of last year. And so, yeah, they're still trying to raise funds. The family has since relocated just because due to the hurt and pain of what happened at the house. For people who don't know, with that situation, the young lady named Melissa walked outside and found, and she was a protester during the Mike Brown situation, walked out and found her son hanging from a tree. Police came. They instantly ruled it a suicide. But there's a lot of evidence around that will point to some planned behaviors of the police. You know, the police quickly brushed it off as being a suicide. But, you know, like I say, other things leading to make us assume something else. Her name is Melissa McKinney's. So that's another situation. Her son's name is Danye Jones. So you can look that case up as well and reach out to her on. She's on Facebook and, I believe, Instagram. So, yeah, but no, they're still at a standstill. The family is still searching for answers.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, so my two quick announcements. Also, want to give a special shout-out to Abigail on her birthday. You know what I'm saying? A big 1-4. You dig? That's a milestone that she didn't just reach. So, congratulations. We are very proud of you, and you know, keep doing what you're doing, keep learning every day, and keep asking questions, stay inquisitive, and you know, and be on point like you are. So salute to Abigail. And then number two, also the big news this week, right? The big news this week, your girl Kamala Harris had to drop out of the presidential race. Now, for those that don't know, Kamala Harris was the Democratic presidential nominee. You know, she threw her hat in there, and she came out. Now, we got to keep in mind, she's a mixture of Indian. Her father is from – no, her mother is from India, the country India, and her dad is a Jamaican, right? So she was trying to really play – up to black people and try to play the black girl, sister girl role, you know. So when she started her campaign, she was dancing to Cardi B. They was doing little videos of her dancing to Cardi B and talking about fried chicken. She was on a Breakfast Club talking about she smoked weed and listened to Tupac in college. Come to find out, when she was in college, Tupac hadn't even dropped yet. And it was just a whole bunch of stuff going on where she was trying to position herself kind of like Obama, you know, to get the black vote. But lo and behold, months later, you know, they had asked her, they say, okay, do you have a specific plan for black people specifically? And in one of her interviews, she like, no, I'm not going to do nothing just for black people, right? That's what she said, no, I'm not going to do nothing just for black people. So now that black people are becoming politically aware and raising our political consciousness level, we're demanding something, especially from these Democratic candidates who black people have been so loyal to. And because she didn't have a plan, she was unable to get that support from the grassroots and from a lot of black people. So in turn, she had to drop out of her campaign today. A lot of people was mad. Well, not a lot of people, but some people who was campaigning for her was mad. They was upset. They was blaming black men, talking about black men just didn't want to see a black woman win and this and that. But this woman plays the Asian card. She claims to be Indian. She claims all these different nationalities. So, you know what I mean? And then she plays black when it's convenient. So we kind of saw, or black people kind of saw through that. She wasn't raising the money and she wasn't getting the support. So unfortunately, well, I can say fortunately, she had to drop out. So I don't know if y'all got any thoughts on that, but I thought it was hilarious. I knew she was going to drop out. I didn't think she was going to last this long, but you know, here we are. She's out the race. I think Cory Booker's next. Biden don't stand a chance. And like you heard on Collective Minds before from Cosmic Kev, Trump will be reelected in 2020. Mark my words, and I'm taking all bets. Holler at me. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking all bets.
If she had stayed in the race, would you have voted for her over Trump, or you wouldn't have voted for her either?
No, I'm going to keep it real. My position as it stands right now, I'm not voting for anyone without a black agenda. If you don't have a plan specifically for black people, I'm not talking about a plan for poor people. I'm not talking about a plan for people of color. I'm not talking about a plan for minorities. None of those words. I'm talking about a plan unapologetically to help black people who are the most vulnerable in this society. And if we are truly what we say we are, we're supposed to be helping the most vulnerable in our societies. And from where I stand, what I see is black people economically, socially, you know, if you want to talk about civil rights, all these things, you know, black people are owed something. You dig what I'm saying? We're talking about reparations. So we're owed that as far as on the economic end. We're owed protection as far as on the civil rights end, with our civil rights being violated a lot of times. So I'm not voting for anyone if they don't have a specific agenda to address those issues. And I think it's time, you know, we don't have to be afraid to say we want a black agenda. It's just time to call it what it is. And if you're not on that plan, then you're not getting my support. So that's where I'm at with it. So I know I wouldn't have voted for her. Now, if she would have came with something directly that was tangible, then yeah, you know, I'm not, you know, I just go with a candidate that's to the issues that affect me the most, specifically, you know, me and my people. So that's where I'm at with it. So, you know, if Trump come with a plan, I said this before too, and a lot of people kind of got up in arms. If Trump come with a plan specifically for black people, yeah, I'll vote for Trump. Because it's not about liking nobody. It's not about liking any of these candidates. It's about getting something specifically to help, you know, to improve the quality of your life. You dig what I'm saying?
Come on over to the Dimes.
But Trump ain't talking about nothing, though. He ain't talking about nothing. You know, he already said he ain't talking about nothing. His budget don't even allow for reparations to come through. So I'm just saying hypothetically. You know what I'm saying? Hypothetically.
For another time.
We'll talk about that another time. We'll definitely chop it up, because 2020 gonna be a powerful year. It's an election year. They doing the impeachment hearings, which is another little sideshow, but again, mark my words, Trump will be in there 2020. And like I said, I'm taking all bets. You can email us at collectivemind@yahoo.com.
Right,
but all right, y'all, without further ado, this is Collective Minds. We got a great show. We are talking about the movie Queen and Slim. It dropped not this past weekend, but the previous weekend was the opening weekend. There's been a lot of buzz, a lot of talk. If you haven't seen the movie, just, you know, there's a spoiler alert. We're going to talk about a few things because we want to get into the movie, talk about the social impact, talk about what we like, talk about what we dislike, and just kind of, you know, break down a movie and give a collective mind's perspective. Please give us a call because we do value all of our family's opinion. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. We are discussing the Queen and Slim movie, right? So before we get started, I'm going to just give a backdrop. For those that don't know, Queen and Slim, again, dropped a couple weekends ago. It was directed by a black woman. Well, she's mixed. Her name is Melina Matsoukas. She's done a lot of, like, video work. I think she worked with Beyonce on a few videos and things like that. So she was a videographer. So this is her first feature directorial debut. Excuse me. It was written by Lena Waithe. Okay. Now, Lena Waithe, she did the series Chicago. She wrote on that. And she's done other few things in Hollywood, but most notably Chicago. And the story is from, actually, the story, a lot of people don't know this, is from a white guy named James Fry. So him and Lena Waithe, they wrote the screenplay for this particular movie. It stars Daniel Kaluuya. Daniel Kaluuya, he's the guy from Get Out. He's a British actor. It also stars Jodie Turner-Smith, who's also a British actor. Then you got Bokeem Woodbines in the movie. Chloe Sevigny, Flea's in it, Sturgill Simpson, and India Moore. These are just some players in the movie. Now, the premise of the movie was great. You know, it was supposed to be a couple on a first date. The police gets out of line. He ends up shooting the black woman. And in order to protect the black woman, the black man rushes the police. He shoots the police, and then they go on a run. Kills the police, and they go on a run. So right there from the jump, the trailer was awesome, right? The trailer had me hooked. It was one of those must-sees. It's like, okay, this has potential to be a great movie. But with that being said, the movie ensues, and they go on a path as far as being on a run from the police. And then they become cult heroes. So it was kind of sold as a black Bonnie and Clyde type movie, right? That's the way the trailer was kind of set up, as the black Bonnie and Clyde. So I know Rigel went to go see it, and I know my brother Mufasa went to go see it as well. So we're going to discuss it. Again, there may be some spoilers in here. So if you haven't seen it and you care about spoilers, you know, you might want to come back later after you see it. But we will touch on a few things, specifics that's in the movie. All right. So, yeah, this should be a fun show. We go talk about it. Let's talk it up. I'm going to go to Mufasa first on this one, right? My brother Mufasa. What are your thoughts on the movie, my brother? And then we go get to Queen Rigel. What are your thoughts, my brother?
All right. Well, first off, I'll say that I'm just going to talk about it as far as the movie layout, okay, from a movie perspective. And then I'll go into, you know, my views and what I got out of it.
Yes, indeed.
I think the movie was put together well. I enjoyed the cinematography of it. I enjoyed the soundtrack of the movie. I think it was put together quite well. I enjoyed the fact that they didn't make the two main characters out to be, because everybody was saying it's like a Bonnie and Clyde story, but no, that wasn't the case. It wasn't like a black Bonnie and Clyde. These were two regular. They were portrayed as two regular black people that was just, you know, living life, right, and bam, got hit with this situation. So I say the movie was put together well, in my opinion. Okay, now let's go into The one thing I didn't like about the movie was, and this is just something that me, myself, I would take out of it. So really, I'm not going to say I didn't like this about the movie. It's just something that I learned and how I would handle the situation. When it kicked off, where they shot the cop, now me,
right,
myself, I wouldn't have ran. Now, I may have ran to an area where I'm protected, but to think I was just going to run to Cuba to get away, because I know not the majority of the time, you know, running from the police is a hard thing, you know. So
Right. You
got to live your whole life, you know, basically on the run. So my thing is, I know I didn't do nothing wrong. I'm justified. It was caught on dash cam. Should have been. So I just wouldn't have ran because you saw where that led to. So I'm just saying that out the movie that I wouldn't have ran. Now, some people would disagree with me on that. The other part was, oh man, what was that part? Man, why I just drew a blank on it. But probably at the end, you know, that snitch scene where the guy who got the money to turn him in.
Right,
oh my
right.
God, that part, because my daughter was with me when I saw the movie. And when it came across that, to let you know how good of a movie it was to me, I look over my daughter. I mean, she over in her tears. You know, she crying. Because at this point, this is when one of the female characters got shot. So she's just,
right,
you know, just crying and upset. And when she saw that dude counting that money, you know, it turned him in. She was just so enraged. You know, I was too. But I enjoyed
right.
the movie. I thought it was good. And what I can say, what I got out of it is, it was real. It was a real story. Things like this can happen. Like asshole cop pulling you over. You know, you just trying to do your thing. He acting a damn fool. We've been in situations like that. So it was definitely some realness to the movie. Wasn't nothing phony about it, in my opinion. It was definitely real. I felt all the vibes from it. You know, like I said, the only thing for me, I wouldn't have ran. Now, I know some people, one of them is on this phone, didn't appreciate the sex scene in there. I'll let them comment on that if they want to. But myself, I didn't have a problem with it, of course. You know, because, I mean,
right.
let's keep real. That sister in there, woo, boy, she was fine. But
I'll
digress on that. I didn't have a problem with that scene. And that uncle, Slim's uncle, no, Queen.
Yeah,
Queen's
yeah.
uncle.
Played by
what's his name? Bodine?
Bo-Keem.
Oh, man. He had me cracking up, boy. That part when he was talking about his rings.
Right.
He was sitting there, and you could tell. See, they said something was wrong with him, right? They kind of led in that he had issues coming from the war. So when he was sitting there, he got them rings lined up, and he, like, trying to put his fingers in them. And then that's how he knew one was missing. He like, hold up.
Right.
My pinky ring hit. And, man, that shit had me cracking up. Bitch, where my pinky ring? That part had me cracking up. So it's bits and pieces of it that it just ain't came back to me yet. But I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I think everybody should go check it out. Maybe even buy it on DVD. And like I say, you can sit down with your children and talk to them about how they would handle that type of situation. If they get caught up in something like getting pulled over by an asshole cop. Like I said, with me, I ain't had no problems with how they handled the situation up until they ran. You know, that part to me just like, man, where you going to run to? I didn't agree with that part. I would have probably left off that street and got somewhere, you know, to where it's a lot of people and tried to turn myself in that way. But I would have just turned myself in, tried to get me a lawyer. You know, and if I go to jail, you know, if I go to jail, at least I'm still alive. I'm still living. But I ain't finna run forever. You know what I'm saying? Like when old girl told
yes,
me, I say this, and then I leave alone. Old girl was like, well, run, you know, you ain't gonna never see your family again. I'm like,
right.
Shit, well, if you turn yourself in, you know, yeah, you'll see him again. Now, you might see him behind bars, but, yeah, you'll see him again. You know, trying to run. Man, you really rolling the dice on that one. especially like I say, you right. didn't, you was innocent. So I'm not running yeah. when I'm innocent. So I'll leave it at that for now.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, family. If you're just joining us, this Collective Minds Radio, you just heard our brother Mufasa Ra give his take on the movie Queen and Slim. We'll get to the call lines here in 1 second. But first, let's hear from the Queen, Rigel. I know she saw the movie, so it should be fresh on her mind. What did you think about the movie Queen and Slim, Rigel? Roger, you with us? Or do you want me to go? What's that?
No, I'm sure Roger.
I can go.
I dipped out for
it. Is she getting her together? You might be on mute, Roger.
Yeah,
but
you might as well go ahead, brother Kid.
Yeah, while we wait on Queen Roger, I'm going to go and get my real quick breakdown.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah,
you're right. I was by accident.
You was on mute. Okay. You want to go ahead and go? Oh, okay. Go ahead. What are your thoughts on the movie?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I wasn't, I'm not going to be too hard of a critic, you know, because, hey, I've never written a movie. I never produced a movie, nor have I ever directed a movie. So I'll give them credit for being able to pull those things off. But I wasn't as impressed as Mufasa. You know, it was some things about the movie that, I mean, after going to the theaters to see it, I wish I could have or would have just waited. I could have waited until it came on Channel 2, Channel 4, 5.
Oh,
I didn't have to wait for it to be on Netflix. I don't even have to wait on demand. Okay, I'm sorry. I won't be that rough. They have done things that I have never done. So I'm definitely giving them credit because I've never written a movie. I've never directed a movie, and I never produced a movie.
Right, no,
but,
this is art.
Know,
we just critiquing, you know, we just critiquing
yeah,
the art.
I,
it's art.
Yeah, what you didn't
I,
like?
I just don't think it was realistic enough to me. I thought they made some very dumb choices, very stupid choices, and I think it was just done like that on purpose just for the story and the movie's sake, because I don't think realistically a lot of the choices that they made would have been made that way. I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't hang around enough criminals because I don't see it going down like that. And it just don't seem like it was realistic. And I don't like the fact that they showed that it was just, you know, at the end when there was they showed the one guy with all the grills in his mouth counting the money.
Yeah.
You know, why they put
yeah.
only him on blast? We know it had to be somebody else that done it, you know, with them. And I don't like how they, you know, how things was kind of played out. I just wasn't that impressed with the movie overall. Like I said, it just didn't seem realistic enough to me. I don't like the fact that they made the young lady just be so hardcore and just so tough. It's like she wasn't even pleasant to the guy. Even the guy Slim, to me, she just didn't have a pleasant attitude toward him. It's like why was she so mean toward him?
Man,
right,
I wanted to say something about that, but
Kayla, they supposed to be going on a date, and she was treating the guy all, you know, if I was him, I would have been like, look, after we eat, I'm about to take you home. Because it's like, why so much of the attitude? So I didn't like the fact that they were portraying a black woman with an attitude like that. You know, especially unnecessarily.
Right.
It was not necessary for her to have such attitude towards a young man she's on a date with, you know. So I think a lot of that was kind of overkill, you know. So I didn't appreciate that, and I thought it was overkill that they showed the guy with the grills, the one that turned him in too. Why couldn't have been the man and his wife? count the money or count some of the money. I just didn't like like some of the messages that, at least what I took for the messages in there.
Right.
And I do want to make one more comment about the sex scene. Yeah. I mean, Mufasa praised the movie. You guys heard him. He gave it a lot of credit. He recommended to take your family and all that. What he did not say is that make sure your children are over a certain age before you take them, because there is a heavy sex and nudity scene in there. So listen to the advice, but use wisdom. And make sure that your children are of a certain age, too, before you just go.
It's rated R, y'all.
You off to a field trip at the movies, talking about we want to see Queen Slim. They got
there's
a
music baby
thing. And it's not just like really quick. It's an actual nude scene, sex scene there that, you know, can be a little, to me personally, inappropriate for children.
It's rated R. Let's put out that rated R. It's under 17,
it's
can't get in without a parent. So it is rated R, y'all.
Yes, indeed. Did you want to respond real quick? If you got a minute to respond, and then I'm going to go, Mufasa, if you want to.
I just wanted to comment on what she said about the way Queen was treating him. I like that because I've run into, it is a lot of females, now Roger, you're not like that, but it's a lot of sisters out there that are like become successful. You know, she was an attorney. You know, they become successful, they don't have a guy, they get a little bitter. So yeah, she was basically just using him. And like she even said that in the story, like he was like, man, I reached out to you 3 weeks ago. And she was like, well, I just had basically a bad day. And that's why I'm giving you a shot right now to take me to dinner, you know. But as you notice, as the movie went on, he was able to break through those barriers. And a lot of our women, because they have been mistreated by, you know, us and in society, a lot of our women do get to put a hard exterior shell of protective barrier over themselves, their hearts, and their emotions. So I understood, well, that was my perception. I understood what they was trying to go with that. That she was just protected in the beginning. But as it went on.
Yeah, but we see so much of that. I mean, I realize that. And
because it's real.
I know, you're true. But we see so much of that portrayed in movies, is what I'm saying. Portrayed the other side. Because, we have women like that, but we also have women that's not like that. I think portray that side more of us. You know, because, you just said, I'm not like that. And I know a lot of other women that's not. So it's like, a lot of times, to me, in the movies, they want to portray that woman. Yeah, she exists, you know, but she don't have to be portrayed so much, you know. I think in this case, I don't think it was. It just didn't seem. It just like it would have went a little bit better had she not been that woman.
Right.
Also, let me say this real quick too. Also. Like when you were saying, take her home, like how she was being, that's what made him snatch his phone out of her hand, because he did get fed up. He was like, you know what? He snatched his phone back and he swerved. That's how the police ended up pulling him over. So, he did get fed up with that.
Yes, indeed. So, if you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are breaking down the movie Queen and Slim. I'm going to give a quick breakdown, and then we go get to the call lines, family. So be patient. Give us a call. The number's 929-477-1697. Okay, so my breakdown on Queen and Slim, right? And I thought I was going to be the bad guy, but I want to preface the statement by saying again, you know, movies are like art, right? They're very subjective. You know, everybody has their opinion, and people see things different. And like Roger said, you know, these people put on a major production, so we want to give them credit for that. Also, I want to say, because I want to give some positives, right? The positives in the movie, like Mufasa stated, cinematically it was shot well. The colors were good. You know, I like a lot of the angles. You know, I thought the wardrobe was kind of good. So those were the positives. So on the surface, combined with the premise of the movie, it was good, right? I would recommend people, you know, to go see it. I think it was a good movie cinematically. Now, when you look a little deeper, which I'm going to do, I had some issues. And my issues are really along the same line as kind of Rigel, because I don't think it was realistic. I think they tried their best to make it seem real, but there were a lot of things that were out of place and didn't seem realistic to me. Number one, when I watch movies, I try to look at what are the messages and what are they trying to convey, right? And out of this movie, what I got was they were trying to say that police brutality is not about race, right? They were trying to portray police brutality is not about race. And I'm saying that because the scene where the little black kid shot the black cop, I thought that was out of line.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Because the black cop was nice. The black cop was like, hey, brother, just go home. I'm not trying to hurt you or arrest you. I'm just
mm-hmm.
telling you to go home before you get in trouble.
Totally.
There was a protest
yeah.
scene, and one of the little kids that they had affected or ran into on their journey, he ended up pulling out a gun and shooting one of the black officers, which, you know, I didn't like that part. And also, if y'all remember, the sex scene was just opposed to the protest. They were going back and forth with the sex scene and a protest, sex scene, protest.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the sex scene, the dude shoots the black cop. I'm like, whoa, it was just too many emotions for me. I'm like, I'm watching the sex scene, but then I'm watching the protest, and then I got to watch this black kid shoot another black man. So that kind of threw me off. The other thing I thought was unrealistic was the when Slim went into the gas station, he was supposed to go into a gas station and get gas, and he let the white dude hold his gun. He goes into the gas station and shows his gun like, you know, I need some gas. And the dude was like, hey, is that a Glock? Is that a Glock? I've never held a Glock before, man. Just let me hold it. And he lets the guy hold his gun. I'm like, come on, man. Not now, you reaching. So that was number two. The other part I thought personally was unrealistic was the white couple. There was a white couple that kind of held him up and kind of protected them from the police. Police bum rushed their house. They had like different hideouts and secret passages where they could hide, and they kind of took them under and hid them. I thought that was unrealistic. The wife looked like she was about to break, and which kind of they kind of wanted to make it seem a little bit real, but I think they would have folded, especially a black couple in this day and age shooting a cop. I don't think they would have protected them. That's just my opinion. And then another thing was when Queen, I don't know, a lot of people missed this. Queen was like, she had said in one scene that she didn't believe in God. Okay, now the religious symbolism was big in this movie as well. Right, I pay attention to a lot of the symbolisms. There were a lot of crosses. They kept showing that cross in the mirror, in the rearview mirror, and there was a few other scenes where they was putting a lot of religious motifs. But Queen, in one scene, she said she didn't believe in God, but then when they were sitting at the table at the house and she took over the prayer, she first thing she said is, "I want to thank God." So I thought that was a little weird. And another symbolic thing that I looked at as well was when they stopped, which was unrealistic. They stopped and rode the horse in the field. They kind of stopped and rode a horse because he wanted to ride a horse. That was a little bit weird because you're on the run and you're going to stop and ride a horse. And now the symbolic thing in that was, out of all the horses in the field, and I was looking, they rode the only white horse in the field. That's just me. You know, Kev be on that. I'm just looking at all the other horses were brown and black. They rode the only white horse in the field. Now, I'm just looking at that. Just
so what
symbolic.
Does that say?
Look,
what do y'all think that means? What do y'all think that means?
Loving on them.
You
they ain't not just riding them. They loving on them. He beautiful,
right.
Loving his face. Love.
Yeah. So that was just symbolically me looking a little deeper into context and things that they were trying to portray. So for me, I wasn't that impressed with the entire movie. Again, I would recommend you go see it just for the cinematic view. Because I'm a movie guy, period. So I watch movies to try to decode them and peep out the messages. With this, like I say, the message to me was, you know, it's not about race when it comes to police brutality, which I think is false, because we don't see a lot of black. If it wasn't about race, we would see a lot of more black cops just randomly shooting unarmed white people, which we don't see a lot of. So that tells you that it is about race when it comes to police brutality, right? The other thing they were trying to portray was all white people, not racist, right? And number three, black people are just as bad. Your black people will sell you out just like black. Now, again, that may be true, right? We do know that black people may sell each other out for the bag, but when it comes to a movie like this, I personally feel that, you know, they should show the other side. Like Rigel said, they can show us winning at the end. They can show us sticking together and not selling each other out. Why not show that side?
Exactly.
You know,
definitely.
This is a movie where you can be creative and use creative license. This is a fictional movie. So why not show the other side of where black people are sticking together and it ain't no BS? You see what I'm saying? You can get creative.
Dang,
you can say, yeah, it can be real. That's realistic. But why not show the other side where we winning and sticking together?
Can I ask y'all one quick question, though?
Yes,
indeed. Just one question. What about when they went into the pool hall, all the black people who knew where they was worked, didn't
right.
say nothing about it. The guy who had the car, worked on the car, had their back, didn't say nothing about it. The black police officer who caught them in the barn, let them ride, didn't say nothing about it.
The guy who worked on the car stiffed them, though. He took the rest of their money, and he charged extra for a doggone, what was it, a radiator. I just got a radiator done.
But, right,
he
but check it. He told but he,
radiator. That was ridiculous.
But he said why he charged them, too. He said, I ain't with what y'all doing. But what I'm saying is, he didn't sell them out. He could have called the police on them. So I'm saying there were scenes in the movie that showed
that
black people that were linked up. Why are y'all just thinking about the one brother who did snitch? It was a whole array of black people in there that had their back.
Because y'all not even mentioning them. Right, but exactly what you said. When they showed him counting that money, you see how that brought their emotions out in you and your daughter? That's what it was supposed to do, for you to look at another black person and be angry when they could
show
the
other
side.
You know what I'm going to say? That wasn't no black man. Do you know what I'm going to say? That wasn't no black man. I knew what he was. That's why he was looking like that. I knew exactly what he was and what he was about.
Right.
He wasn't a black man. He wasn't being portrayed as a black man. I caught that.
But visually, he had melanated skin, unfortunately. So
everybody got melanated skin, ain't black.
That is true. That is true. So with a movie like this, so I'm gonna wrap it up with this. When I think of movies, I think we need to show more of us winning. Like you can portray. See, this goes in a category of those black trauma movies to me. You see what I'm saying? And I say that because they did not win at the end, and it left me with a feeling of defeat. It was like they lost. They could have easily ended the movie because it's a fictional movie. They could have ended with them in Cuba on a beach. You see what I'm saying? They could have made it to Cuba and been on a beach. Why not?
How realistic
a fictional movie?
How realistic would that have been?
But
that
would have
been realistic.
It's a movie. Yeah, that would have been
realistic. Y'all saying, y'all going in on realisticness. Y'all going in on realistic. Would that really been realistic? I'm just asking.
Yeah, of course, but let me answer. I would love to answer that.
It's a movie.
Because if
y'all
it ain't real, let me answer that. If it ain't realistic anyway, then go ahead and make it that way. Because
exactly.
I hear what you're saying, and I do agree that, yeah, and I can go ahead and acknowledge, yeah, that was some black people that they showed that helped them along the way. But in the end, and this is what I didn't like about the movie, and this is why I won't recommend it, because in the end, he was still turned over and still by another black person in the end.
Right, yeah.
And
which
not
was
to
vital.
Mention, not to mention, they shouldn't, and one thing I will agree with you, Mufasa, is that they shouldn't have been running in the beginning, because what they did was made it seem like what the cop was doing was okay. That cop was
right.
doing something dirty toward them. If they defended themselves and they killed him, why do they have to run anyway? So I didn't like
right.
that from the jump, and they made the whole story about them running from a cop that was
right.
doing them dirty, and they end up dying at the end and made that story
right.
end as them dying like
right.
they did something wrong. No, the story
right.
should have been fixed where they should have came out on top. They should have been the winners because
right.
they were the underdogs
they was in
to
the right.
jump. They shouldn't
yeah,
they
was
in
the
right.
right
to do what they done.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I will
hey. Recognize the ones that did help them. Yes, I recognize that. But at the end, they still end up dying for something that they had no business dying for. From a black
right.
man
now look,
that,
now look.
That turned to me.
Now look, now check this out, and we're going to get to the call line. Check this out real quick. Let's talk about symbolic. Let's talk about points on the scoreboard. And this is me personally making it about race. You have one white cop that died in the beginning. And then you have three black deaths. So you got 1 to 3. You got the black police that the young man shot, that the little boy shot. And then you got Queen and Slim dying at the end. So for me, the body count, and I'm making it about race, was 1 to 3. We lost in this movie, right, from my perspective. Black people lost in this movie. And like Rigel said, they could have got away because they were clearly in the right. You see what I'm saying? But I digress. You know what I'm saying? I digress.
I don't like the fact that they had them running like they had done something wrong. Why are they running? They
right.
need to stand up, and I do, Mufasa, trust me. I recognize that the harsh reality of it is, if that was real, true reality, if they had stayed there and tried to fight, yeah, they probably would have been locked up. I know that. But like you said, if you know you've done something right, or if the writer – if we're going to go to the movies and the writer going to make it like that, you need to write them as the winner because you need to show people that the cop is wrong. Now you still got this
was
false
wrong.
Illusion that the cop
yeah.
still was okay. And
yeah.
that's what I didn't
yeah.
like about it, and that's why I would not recommend it at all because I don't think it was written proper enough.
Yeah. The cops
now
won.
Now
we're going to
talk
end.
About
that's
a message. Yeah, and they
the cops
have.
Won.
They
won.
Up run somebody just shot this woman. They the way the cop treated them, he was gonna kill that man. He shot that woman. It was gonna go down. They protected themselves as they should have.
As they should have.
As
exactly.
They should
you have a guy given right.
And they supposed to
have
been.
Right.
And the true reality, what they should have been able to do is stand there. And they seen them and did another thing. And I'm gonna stop so we can get to the call line. They showing. The camera on what's happening, and they still got to run. They should see that this officer is out of line, but
yeah,
no,
they had the
because
camera.
It's an
they
officer,
had to,
they still
yeah.
had to run. They see the officer. Clown.
Yeah, they had the footage.
They
had the dash cam footage. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but yeah, but
they had the
once
dash
again,
cam footage.
The dash camera don't matter.
Well, let me ask you. You saw, with that being said, though, you say they didn't have to run. So what you think? You think, like, the law enforcement should have put out, you know, some type of thing saying, hey, we know you guys are innocent. Don't run. Or, no. I mean,
because what I actually said was, I understand what you were saying. I realized I didn't finish
right.
my point, but I was saying that I understood what you were saying, that if they had a stay, they probably would have been locked up, and they would have had to fight from behind the bars.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, hey, at least you're alive to see your family and just fight it. But on the other hand, if the writer is going to write it as if they're going to run, then they should have been like, have you guys seen like movies like, what's that movie when the young man, Samuel L. Jackson, when his kid was, that little girl, when it's Time to Kill, you see how that movie
A Time
was?
To Kill, yeah.
A Time
yeah.
to Kill, or
yeah.
another movie with Denzel Washington, when his son needed that heart
yeah,
transplant.
Yeah, John Q.
Right,
John Q.
Right. Now, if you're going to
yeah.
write a movie where you in the right, now write it where, okay, they stay on the run until they can say, look, you need to check these cameras, and they need to fight
right.
from a distance. Now, if you got two
right.
choices. You can stay there and fight from the board, from behind the board, or you can fight from the distance and be like, look, you need to check this stuff out first before I come and talk to anybody. They could have made it like that. There's so many better ways.
Yeah, or they
could have
just ended it before they got shot. That would even been a
yeah.
better than just
yeah,
defeat.
They, right. they,
you know,
like
they getting
shot. They getting shot up
before
like
they got
like
shot.
They done something wrong. Them people ain't done
yeah,
nothing
that
wrong.
Was just yeah, that was cold blooded there. But again, I digress. Y'all want to hit the call lines and we can chop it up some more. Let's see what the call is.
Yeah, because if I say something else, y'all going to go on a whole another 15-minute tirade. So I'm going to wait.
Let's hit the call line.
Yeah, your code 314-381. Caller, are you on with Collective Minds Radio? Do you have a question or a comment?
What y'all talking about, man?
We talking about the movie Queen and Slim. We talking about the movie
Don't
Queen
Black
and Slim.
Americans make any more films?
The director was a Black American, I believe. She's mixed, but I believe she's Black American.
And where's
so,
the Black American actors at?
Now that's another point, because the two main characters were not Black American actors, yet they were playing Black American characters. But there are Black American actors, so I'm not sure where all these British Black actors are coming from that are playing these roles that are supposed to portray Black Americans. Like the Harriet woman was a British actor. The guy who played Martin Luther King in Selma was British. So there's a British invasion of actors coming in and playing Black American roles. And I think this did not hit hard because of the fact that these were two British actors. I don't think it had the impact that it would have had if you would have had some Black American actors playing it. And that's just me personally.
Yeah, I think that's really callous. You see, Asians can complaining that whites play roles of Asian characters historically.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know why come that Black American actors don't complain about that. That's totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's stories over in Britain that has historical content. Why don't they make movies on that?
Right, right, yeah.
And the thing
yeah.
about it, Black folks stand around, don't say jack. That's what I can't understand sometimes.
Well, some people did mention that as far as these being British actors. And that was one of the things I even told my wife, that I was like, it didn't really have an impact because they were British. And to me, I look at small things like different little nuances, just the way, you know, they carry themselves, the actors. I think it would have hit a little different had it been some Black American actors.
They probably was walking
this
like
experience.
They probably walking like they just came from Mass or something.
Right. It just would have hit a little different to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with that being said, they were still good actors. You know what I'm saying? They were still good
yeah,
actors.
Yeah, they got paid.
Yeah,
Black people stopped giving up their stuff to others just because they got sent. I keep telling y'all. I keep telling folks, I'm making the remarks. It all Black folks not the same.
That is true.
It's because somebody got black skin coming from India. That don't mean that they have that inbred content within them.
Right,
so that's silly. Now, as far as Kamala Harris, I wouldn't have voted for her anyway. You know why? Oh, you want to guess why?
Go ahead, real quick. We don't want to get off topic, but go ahead. We're going to let you go.
I wouldn't have voted for her because she's married to a white man. Simple as that.
Oh, okay. I respect that. Yeah.
And, of course, she's not no African-American. She's not black.
Right.
Well, she can say anything is black anymore, but she's not African-American.
That is true.
Black
American. That is true. That is
same
true.
Thing with this guy, Patrick.
She ain't on cold.
Yeah, same thing with this guy, Patrick. I can't think of his last name. Nor Booker. I wouldn't vote for him either. Hell, he's not even married.
Cory Booker. You talking about Cory Booker. Yeah, he's not even married, and they trying to make the actress his wife. I can't. What's her name? His girlfriend.
I don't know.
The actress. I can't think of her name right now, but yeah. But again,
yeah, but anyway,
talking about Queen and Slim, we appreciate you.
I didn't see the movie, so I don't. But from what you described, I think that there is a point that should be made. And then look out, who else coming in? You gonna have some British coming in playing Superfly or what? Anyway, I'll see you.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, Colin.
Yeah, that's what all the black American actors. That's the type of roles that you know they be get taken. Drug dealers, pimps.
Now look, because somebody made this point too. Now, all the people who remember the guy that they had hit the little fat dude that had bought the sandwich for him, and they had accidentally hit his father, and you see how he was talking to his son, like, "Hey, you little B, your mama little B," that was kind of.
Hey.
Come on,
I was like,
overkill.
"Come on, now you making him look." That was overkill.
That's
like
overkill.
He's like,
I'm sorry.
"Your mama is the only B I got. You little fat, stop acting like a B." I'm like, "Dude, look how you talking like that, Toy." Now you know, bro. You
I'm about to tell you,
but you know that's not real. Bro.
No, I'm about to tell you. It's just as simple as this. We come in all different types of behavior patterns. Hey, my neighbor, I had a neighbor that talked to his kids just like that, which is why we didn't click at all. I'm so glad they moved because he talked to his little kids just like that, loud, out in the open.
Right, so look. So
I mean,
it's just another aspect of
some of the people you find.
But that's the aspect we always see. Why not show the positive? We always see the negative of black people in movies. Always.
Okay,
why
what about
not
this?
Show the positive?
What about his parents? What about his parents? What about the main character's parents? That was a positive
Slim?
Role model. Yeah, what about Slim's parents? That was positive role models. He didn't sell his son out. He had his son back, married. You know what I'm saying? So I saw a mixture. I saw some positive role models in her, and I saw some negative ones. I that's why, to me, it was realistic, because you see a mixture of everything. When you in the hood, you're going to see some good, you're going to see some bad. We ain't all good. That's the facts. And I know y'all tired of seeing it. Y'all tired of that, just like I get tired of seeing slave movies. So I ain't going to, you know, put y'all, get on your head about that, as I understand.
Yes,
but
indeed.
The reality
yes,
is,
indeed.
We are a mixture of a lot of different types of people.
That is true, no doubt. So if you just
I feel you on that. I understand where y'all are coming from.
Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, family, we are talking about the Queen and Slim movie. This Collective Minds Radio. I'm Cosmic Kev, his brother Mufasa, and Queen Raiju. Let's see what the family talking about, Queen.
Okay, area code 404-908. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to comment on the movie, man. What's going on, y'all?
Yes,
how you doing,
bro?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. Well, I mean, just think about this. If you're talking about major studios, when they do their focus groups, these movies have to do what? Ease the sensibilities of white people. So
that's right.
If you're
going
to see a movie like this, you have to watch it with that understanding. So Lena Waithe, the sister who made the movie, if you've seen any of her interviews or anything she's written, you kind of get an idea about who she is. This is one of those black folks. So her writing the dialogue for these characters, like, this is her idea of what a hood person sounds like. This is her idea of how hood people interact. So it's not really that far away from a white person saying, okay, I'm going to write some black dialogue. You know what I'm saying? When you get down to it at bottom. Like
She's from Chicago. She's from the Chi.
From the Chi to a degree. Actually, how much you've been in the city. You get a whole other conversation. So the movie overall, what did they have to do? They had to muddy the waters on the situation of police brutality and black people's relationship with the police. It has to be written as and shown as, hey, sometimes we mess up too, or sometimes this stuff is ambiguous. It can't be written in a way of, you know, this is black people living under modern day apartheid, and these are some of the things that happen. It can't be written that way. Otherwise, you wouldn't get backed by a major studio, and they wouldn't choose her to direct. So, really talented as far as visually. The stuff looks good, but overall, when you just look at the story, like you said, when you're writing something that's not based on a true story, it's not real, you can have whatever ending you want. So somebody you know, if they was to get away and be on the beach in Cuba, that wouldn't be realistic. Well, the Asada Shakur story says different. Says that actually can happen, actually did happen.
So you
can write it in any way you want to. But if your mind is really, really anti-black, and you've convinced yourself that you're this special Negro who's been allowed in these spaces and is creating this, you know, this movie, your sensibilities are going to come out through the movie. So I mean, I'm not surprised. I wasn't disappointed. My girl wanted to see it, so I went. I wouldn't have went otherwise, just to keep it a buck. But the British actor. This is another part to it. He was talking to one of her friends about the movie, and he said, "Oh, damn, I want to do it." So his name being attached to it helped get the movie made. So now we're going to another realm, and when we're dealing with anti-blackness of. Man, white Hollywood folks are really comfortable with black British people. They got that accent. They got a certain deportment about them that those people really, really, really respect. Well, if the black Americans acted more like them, you know what I'm saying? That kind of comes into play. So you can kind of see why they keep getting all these jobs. Now, last time y'all muted me and brought on Black MAGA Man, and I didn't get to light him on fire like he needed to be. So, you know what I'm saying? Be careful with that.
Yes, indeed. We got you, brother. We got you. But, no, he made some good points, and I do understand as far as this being a major, you know, major studio movie that they had to make certain concessions. But my thing is we still have a right as the public and especially as black folks to criticize and point out things that were, you know, that we didn't like. You know what I'm saying? We still have a right to do that, even though we understand that this is Hollywood and they have to make white people comfortable, because white people at the end of the day are the ones who are going to green light a project like this. You dig what I'm saying? So, he made some great points. Caller made some great points. You want to get another caller? We appreciate you, caller. Okay. Right on. Appreciate you.
314-568, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm pretty much just listening, but I pretty much agree with everything the last caller said. But I ain't seen the movie, but from what y'all saying, it pretty much sounds like it's just a double-edged sword, because they couldn't have them riding off into the sunset, you know what I mean? And like the other guy was, well, like you all were saying, what do make sense to me is it is a movie at the end of the day. So the ending could have been whatever and however they wanted it to be.
Yeah, whatever you want.
But I think by making the ending the way it was,
they helped them again.
It's kind of patting them on the back. Like, okay, well, we'll make the movie be about this, but to make y'all happy, we're going to kill them at the end.
Exactly, right.
Do that make sense, what I'm saying?
That makes sense, yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense, because when I first seen the trailer for the movie, I'm like, hold up. How are they making a movie where a black man saves a black woman, shoots a cop,
the trailer
and they
made it seem like they was finna ride off into the sunset.
That's what I thought, bruh. When I seen the trailer, I say, hold up. How could they make this? I'm like, Hollywood finna let this movie
surprise,
get out?
Surprise.
I say, something going on.
And I didn't know that they died until I talked to, because I haven't seen the movie until I spoke with a couple people about it. But, you know, I think for us and where we at in the world right now, that would have helped us just to see him go right off into the sunset.
Exactly.
Like we got all this stuff with all these other people getting killed by the police, so we can't even have a movie to put a smile on our face about it.
We can't even win in the dream.
In other words.
And go
ahead.
Now I was gonna say that's my whole point. Like, we can't even win in a fictional movie. At least show us winning in a movie. It's fake. You see what I'm saying? It's fake.
And once again, I ain't seen the movie, but the last thing I would have thought was the gangster dude with all the gold in his mouth to be the one to turn him in.
Exactly.
From the trailer.
From the trailer, you would think that
be the guy that help him escape, help him off into the get off into the sunset.
Because he's a goon against the police. He's a goon smoking big weed. Come on.
And then I'm going to be done after this, but just listen to y'all now. So y'all saying a white couple hid him in the house and led him to the Underground Railroad to help him get out. But the dude with the gold in his mouth and the dreads is the one that told on him.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Which making that type of person, and that might be, and I'm done after this too, that might be on a whole nother thing, because you say you look deeper to the stuff. That's the snitch culture now that we're living in.
Right.
Exactly. That's why I was just going to say, I mean, that type of person type of role that he played is, I see people like that. I mean, it happens. It happens. That's the type of person that you think, A100, that's the type of one person that's setting you up to get robbed, or, you know, setting you up to get jacked. I mean, it exists. Everybody that look a certain way is not a certain way. You know, dealing with people.
No, I was just going to say, the way he was portrayed in the movie, like, he was a straight goon. He looked like he would have run-ins with the law all the time. So,
exactly.
The type of
exactly.
Straight, so you
he, exactly. That's
law,
why he a snitch.
So
that's why he a snitch. That's why he made the perfect snitch. That's what I'm saying. That's why he made the perfect snitch.
But I see
that's why he made
like
the
this.
Perfect snitch.
The reason why I say they didn't show the full picture of that dynamic is because I guarantee you, he would, and even in real life, he'll be there counting some of the money, but he ain't counting all of it, because I guarantee you he was working with someone else too, probably the man with the plane. But they ain't going to show him counting money.
Right.
They're just going to show him counting the money, because that's the message that they want to portray. But I guarantee you, he ain't calling them police.
Right. He probably got. He looked like a mother that got warrants.
He got money for bringing them to that spot.
Right. He
because they needed
big, some.
They needed somebody
weed.
Like
on,
him
man.
To. They needed somebody like him to get those two to the white man.
Right.
They didn't want to take another white man. To bring them. Right, he did it, but I'm saying they only go in the movie. I hate that they only showing that, and I know that that's. I agree, Mufasa. It happens. That's how it looks. But they, I don't like the fact that the movie only showed that portion of it, and not the portion of somebody coming to the dude with the gold. Like, hey, I need you to do this, do that. They didn't show that. They made it seem like he orchestrated all that, and I doubt that very seriously.
Let me add one more thing to this. I want to ask y'all, have y'all yet to question the relationship between the white couple and the uncle? Y'all haven't questioned that relationship yet. Why y'all think they knew each other?
No, he said, the uncle said that it was a guy that was in the military with him, if I'm not mistaken.
The white dude who was played by Flea,
he was in the military with the uncle, and he said he owed him a favor or something like that. I don't think in this day and time a white cop is going to hide some black fugitives on the run for killing a cop. I just don't think that's realistic in this day and time.
That's good detective work there. The other thing is, have we questioned why he said we got booby traps all over? We got places in this house that never be, that the police could come here and they'll never find. Have we questioned that?
Right. I thought that was kind of odd, but I'm like, I did question it, but I didn't go nowhere with it. My question stopped. I couldn't figure out in my mind why would he have them booby traps in his house like
all
that.
Right. So let me throw my little bit of controversy in here. See, because I'm looking at it like, yeah, they knew each other from the military, but they was pushing dope together. That's what I look at it as. What did the uncle do for a living?
I thought he was a pimp or something like that. Ex-military pimp.
They was in the trafficking. Right. That's how they knew each other. That's why he had them hitting spots. That's why the white boy know the guy with the plane and all that. They were in the trafficking. So he was dirty. He was a dirty white boy trying to look like a clean white boy. Now his wife, you know, that's why she wanted to say something, but she wasn't. He was dirty.
She didn't know her husband was in the trafficking,
probably. Maybe so. Or she just knew and she just didn't say shit. But he was dirty. That's what I get out of. He wasn't just some nice white guy trying to help them get away. No, he was dirty and into some shit. So that's how I looked at that.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So you want to get one more call, Roger?
Okay. Okay. Area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Please call because I ain't seen the movie. I've been listening to y'all and I watched a couple of reviews on it earlier today, but I haven't seen the movie myself. So I'm not gonna really talk on it.
You think you'll check it out after hearing us fuss about it? You think you're gonna check it out?
No, after I heard the reviews that I watched, I wasn't gonna go watch that movie. I'll tell you right now. I looked into the writer. And
right.
I looked into the director. And the director is half Jamaican and half Jew. That's why she's in the business.
Right. Right. But Melinda Matsoukas. Yeah, she's biracial.
I think,
and the producer is a lesbian.
Right.
Lena Waithe. This movie and how it ended and the plot of this movie. I think the product.
You kind of breaking up, caller. We can't hear you. You kind of breaking up.
Say that again.
I believe that the product that is supposed to come out of this movie is hate. Anger and hate.
Right.
People think it's beautiful movie, and people think it's an important story, and it's about to start a conversation, but from what I heard from the reviews and some of the scenes that I've had, that I've listened to the descriptions of, it's a movie that's just going to have certain people, ill-tempered, low IQ people, leave the theater filled with hate and rage.
Hating white people, hating police? Is that what you're thinking?
No. I disagree.
No. Oh,
inciting
hating police or hate who?
Inciting people to hate or do violent acts to police, which will cause even more problems.
Okay.
No, I disagree.
Because the boy said, I want to be immortal. And shot a policeman in the face.
Right. Right.
What message is that?
Yeah. That's true.
Well,
and I tell y'all,
you
got to
look at the entire movie. I don't think that's true.
I haven't seen the movie. That's just the reviews I listened to were all by black people who had mixed ideas of the movie. Some of them thought it was great. Some of them thought it was, you know, and a lot of them said that if you really sit back and look at it, this movie may start problems that don't need to be started. Because they might have been bringing attention to something that needed attention brought to it, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that are going to look at it and just be angry. One lady said that she watched it and she saw so many people storm out of the theater angry before the movie even ended at how it ended.
Yeah,
and
I can see that.
With so much rage and anger and hatred towards the police and authority. Now, I myself am not an advocate of the police. I believe that they are an arm of a totalitarian government at this point that is going to start, you know, enslaving and euthanizing us because they're going to do what they're paid to do. But at the same time, and I'm not talking about just enslaving and euthanizing us as black people. I'm talking about anybody that's not of the elite class or paying them to do it.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
All right, we
right
appreciate
on,
you,
brother.
We gonna try to get.
Right.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank
yeah,
you.
Catch
we gonna try to get. We'll try to get one more call in here.
Okay.
Go ahead, Roger. Let's try to get one more before we give our final thoughts.
Okay. 314-616. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace. How's everybody doing?
Hey.
Peace,
hey,
Colin. We good. How you?
What's up, bro?
Yeah, just. I'll be real quick, but I know that this is a topic that we can really talk about in detail, but, you know, like you guys said, I thought the cinematography was beautiful. You know, I don't really want to get into any details about using certain actors or whatever, which I think that's kind of Hollywood's way of pulling you into the Matrix and getting you to see these films, because we know that he played in Get Out and Black Panther and stuff like that. You know,
right.
You know, he's building up a report. You know, the issue that I have, you know, like you guys were saying, is at the end of the day, you lose. And they know exactly what they're doing with these movies. And we see that the narrative is going from being a slave to engineering and focusing on black trauma. Whether it's that film, whether it's Black and Blue with Tyrese, whether it's this film coming out with Ice-T, or this film coming out with Jamie Foxx. Is getting comfortable and successful with just never really winning and overthrowing white supremacy. I mean, even with, you know, the movie with Nat Turner, in the end, even though he killed his master.
I hated that. That would piss me off. I can't lie. I left up out there mad as hell.
Right.
Yeah, and see, like, that's what it's doing. So it's giving you a pushback. And then, you know, like Cosmic Kev said, you know, in every film, before it says Hollywood, you know, you got to have a white savior. And you can't have certain conversations with when you're talking to Negroes because they don't see it like that. And they understand the power of the mind and the subconscious being stronger than the conscious. So you got this white couple saying, you know, like I said, there were some things that were just unrealistic, you know. And I mean, like, you know, you saw the symbolism with the white cop saying, you know, calling us animals, and then you see the black cop was saying, oh, those are some deer. Well, you know, a deer is the symbolism of roadkill, and we saw the same picture displayed in Get Out. You know, where the first scene opens up where they hit the deer, then the dad is saying that we have too many deer, kind of symbolizing that we have too many niggas. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, overall. I'm like, Kev, I like to go see these films to get the breakdown of what's the message being pushed. I think that so many of us get caught up in being reactionary and trying to, you know, it's a good film because so-and-so in it, but really what message is being pushed. And until we control this, you're going to get more of the same craziness. So with this movie, Just Give Me Mercy, and the other film with Ice-T coming out, it's going to be more of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, indeed.
And, you know, you guys did an awesome job today.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you calling. Right on.
Right on, bro.
Yes, indeed. We down the last 10 minutes, so we going to just give our final thoughts. I'm going to just say something in about a minute or two. So, yeah, basically this movie, to me, just gave us another L. And like you felt, Mufasa, when you left in that Turner movie, that's how I felt leaving this. I'm like, damn, why can't we win at least in a fictional movie? You dig what I'm saying? We should be able to win. And then again, like Rigel said, they were totally in the right. They had the dash cam. It even shows if we're right and we fight back, we still go lose. That was the message I kind of got. You know what I'm saying? That was like the overall message. If we fight back, we in the right, we still go lose. There's really no winning. You need to just bow down and respect authority and just do what you do. Take these beatings. And like the caller just said, the last caller, they are capitalizing off black trauma. This, I could put this in the lines of a slave movie, really. You know what I'm saying? I could put this right in line with one of those slave movies, because at the end of the day, they want to run, and they got killed at the end. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I would give this movie on a 1 to 10, and I would probably give about a 5, and that's simply because I'm a movie guy. I respect the angles, the cinematography, things like that, the way it was shot. I respect things like that, but as far as the storyline and the overall message, I think that was trash. You dig what I'm saying? I thought that was trash. So I'm going to just leave it right there. I would recommend people just to go see it to get your own opinion. But for me, I would give it a 4 or 5 overall out of 1 to 10. And that's just me. But I'm going to let y'all go ahead. I'm going to let, y'all can get y'all final words and we wrap it up.
I say this. I respect y'all opinions on it, and I truly understand. Because, yeah, we did. They did take an L at the end. This is facts. But, you know, me, myself, I put it in the context of a movie, and I saw some good images in there as well. Like I said, seeing how the black officer was on code helping him out, the black parents on code with hanging up and not getting them, giving up their location. I saw a strong female, black female, who was guarding her emotions, get entangled up and finally get broke, get all that exterior core broken down by this man. And I saw the love story in that. And I appreciated seeing, you know, that couple come together like that, how she let her guard down and embraced him. He embraced her.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, when she looked at him and she said, I'll be your legacy, and then got shot, you know. So I appreciated all that up and down roller coaster in the movie. I'm with y'all. I do agree. I didn't like the end neither, but I understand some movie, and, hey, it was made to incite emotions, and that it definitely did. It definitely invoked some emotions in all of us. So I enjoyed it. Now, I would probably give it a 6.5. I give it 6.5 because I like to see, I like to see, you know, us on the big screen. And I wanted to touch this real quick when y'all were talking about the whole British thing. Maybe one day we can talk about it off air, but the mindset of black people who live over there, you know, their reality, their perception of reality, how they treat it, you know.
Right.
You know, because I always say there ain't no other black person like the black man that came up over here in North America. We are different.
That's
we have
a
different perspective.
A
we have a different
That's
outlook
a
on life. So, you know, those actors that came from over there, they may not see things the way we see them. So, and I agree with what the last caller said too. That's probably one of the reasons why they do get those type of actors, because, you know, they feel like, hey, we can relate to them. They like cool with each other. They buddy buddy.
Right.
They know us here in the hells of America. They know who we are.
We
they know our relationship.
We're different. Exactly.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
Different.
We're different. So I won't.
Yes,
I won't go deep into that. But yeah, that's my view on the movie. I enjoyed it myself. I give it 6.5. And but I do understand how y'all feel about that ending. I do feel that.
Yes, indeed. Roger, I want to hear your final thoughts, and then give us the 1 to 10, what you give it.
Okay. Well, like I said, unfortunately, I don't recommend it. I just don't. I don't recommend it. I don't think it's something to be seen because, and I respect the things that you are highlighting, Mufasa, the positive things that's, you know, that's within and throughout the movie. I understand all those dynamics, and I understand what you're saying. And I do recognize those to be positive too. But my issue with it and the reason that I won't recommend it is because the general message from the beginning, the where it's, the point where it started and the point where it ended, that's why I won't recommend it. Not the fillers, the little fillers that give you little tickly emotions and stuff. I ain't worried about that. The beginning of this movie started off where some black people was getting harassed by the police. They defended themselves, and then they went on the run and got killed like they was wrong. That's why I don't recommend it, because it's like, once again, I feel like we are putting a message in our people's head and our children's heads that regardless, right or wrong, bow down. Yes, sir, master. We got, you know, that's so sickening to me that it's like we are being trained and coerced into bowing down, whether we right or wrong. We just have to take it. And I don't like that message.
Great point.
And it's,
yes,
and,
great.
And that's why I don't recommend it. That's why.
Yeah,
we can see. If we want to see black people loving on each other, shoot, we can watch the reruns of the Cosby Show. We can watch the reruns of Doggone Good Times. But we can just see, you know, we can see those things. Anyway,
so what's your 1 to 10?
When it comes to a movie, my 1 to 10 is a 4.
And I'm
only giving it a 4, just because I don't want to be so hard on it. You know,
right.
But I don't recommend, because I really don't recommend nobody to see it. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't recommend.
Well, I'll be glad.
I'll
say this real quick, because I want to throw this in the atmosphere. Can we get the Elijah Muhammad movie out there, somebody, so we can see some winning, a black man winning, and I'll follow.
Get
back
it out there. Indeed. You hear the man. You hear Mufasa.
Right.
Get it out there.
Yes, indeed.
But
right,
once again,
yes,
though, everybody, this was a great topic, a great discussion, and, of course, we appreciate all our listeners, all our supporters. You guys help keep our conversation going throughout the week, and we look forward to coming on every week to conversate with you guys. So please continue to support us each and every Sunday. We have some more good shows and good topics lined up. As always, if you have any show topic ideas for us, please, we definitely invite you guys to reach out to us. Send us an email. You know it, collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Peace.
Peace. Keep them brain cells twerking.
Keep them twerking at the bar.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
Okay. We talking like we walking. Collective minds.